Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's high time. We had a high time together. Together. Yes, it's high time. We had a high time together.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. I've been in Alberta, Canada for the past 2 weeks, working on a pilot for Casually Baked, the series. And I was so fired up to celebrate 100 episodes of the podcast that I invited some of my friends from the Canadian cannabis community to join me for a Petal Pub celebration. We got casually baked and then pedaled our way through Inglewood to Cold Garden, the funkiest local brewery with a super cool cannabis-friendly staff. When we got there, I sat down with Jameson Wellburn of Stewart Farms and Paul Dillon of Cultivated Solutions. The three of us enjoyed a pint and a chat. I gotta tell you, it's so different for me buying weed in Canada's retail cannabis stores. I'm so spoiled having access to the Emerald Triangle's sun-grown goodness that I really don't know much about the different indoor growing styles that are critical to maintain supply and demand in Alberta, Canada. Nor did I know much about the licensed producers with flowers on the shelves. It's also different not having easy access to the testing data, or being able to pinch a bud or stick my nose into a jar of flower and take a good sniff to explore the rich terpene profiles. I met Jameson and Paul originally on 420. We smoked a lot of J's and had some pretty heady flower talk. So I thought they'd be the perfect pair to ask my can of curious questions to. Whether you've got a trip to Calgary and Banff in your future, or you're just a pot nerd like me, pour a pint, smoke a bowl, and settle in. It's time to get casually baked.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but I better just...
Paul and Jameson, thank you so much for celebrating the 100th episode of the podcast with me. What's
Absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Oh my God, it's so fun. I was on the calendar like, okay, when am I going to be in Calgary? That's the 100th episode. I've got to plan something cool. And so the Casually Baked Petal Pub was born. Yeah.
It's been a great day so far.
Oh my God, so fun. And Cold Garden is a perfect place to talk to two of the smartest growers that I know in Alberta, because I've got a problem and I need some help. I'm a California girl. I like my sun-grown Humboldt County or Emerald Triangle cannabis. And so I know how to shop for it when I'm there. And we have a whole different shopping experience. I can smell things. I can pinch a bud. Like, you can.
Talk about it.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And so I've come here and I'm in the dispensaries. And, you know, I don't really know much about the indoor growing world. I don't know. You can't get a certificate of analysis on the cannabis plant. So I don't know how to shop here. So I was hoping that you could clue me in on the different types of indoor growing that is happening here, and like, you help us figure out how to grade this shit out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So tell me what you're doing with Stewart Farms right now.
So right now I'm the vice president of a group called Stewart Farms. We're headquartered out of Alberta, but we're building a 100,000 square foot vertical aquaponics facility in St. Stephens, New Brunswick. So we're very excited about introducing responsibly sourced, organically grown aquaponic cannabis to the Canadian marketplace as early as Q1 of next year.
That's awesome. So aquaponics, let's talk about this. What is that like? What does that look like?
Aquaponics is a very interesting system. It's been used in vertical farming on a number of different projects globally. The founder of the company, Tanner Stewart, actually comes from that space where he successfully built and grew a vertical aquaponics farms focusing on leafy greens, and he took that knowledge that he made and translated it into what we think is going to be a really successful cannabis cultivation. So utilizing tilapia, we have a contract with the Boston Fish Market, so we're going to be selling live tilapia to the Boston Fish Market, which is located very close to St. Stephens, New Brunswick, so it's not too far in transportation. So we're very excited about that. I am not an aquaponics specialist. We do have a world-renowned aquaponics expert on our team that we're very excited about. His name is Gary Chapman. And we're going to be utilizing his broodstock of tilapia, which he sourced from Lake Nasser in Egypt back in the 60s, to produce the highest grade organic live tilapia that hopefully anybody's ever seen. And, you know, you don't really hear organic and tilapia together, especially live fish. So hopefully that's going to be something that's enjoyed down in those large markets in New York and Boston.
Yeah, because, you know, you think, oh, fish farms, oh, that's bad. But it's like, wait, these fish are growing my awesome dank weed. Yeah. Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah, so we consider ourselves a living soil grow, but instead of utilizing living soil, we're utilizing living water. Our fish do not swim between the roots of our cannabis plants, as many people probably think when
have imagined, right? I'm not sure what I'm visualizing right now.
Absolutely. So Health Canada, as most people know in Canada, is extremely regulation heavy. So we're building our facility to GMP EU standards. And what we're doing is we're taking the used fish water and we're putting it into holding tanks and then treating that fish water on a per batch basis to make sure that it's at the optimal PPM and nutrient level and load to enter into our facility.
So as you're watching these levels and you're looking and, you know, I don't know what the things you're looking at, the pH levels in the water and different things like that. It's like, okay, things are a little high. We're swapping out the feeding system on these fish, right? But what are we feeding these fish? What is it?
So we're feeding them a proprietary mix of vegetable matter and protein matter. And what we've found is that it's very important to monitor what goes in because it affects what comes out. And you can feed a fish anything, but having the excrement be of a benefit to cannabis growth is something that, you know, we really think we need an expert involved in, and we're really happy to have Gary on board.
Need a wizard.
Absolutely.
A fish shit wizard.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better.
All right. So that's one style of indoor.
That's one style. That's a rare style.
Oh, you're right. Exactly. Yes. This is something really special. So tell me, what's the most traditional indoor growing style here?
Typically what we're seeing is either in a soilless mix on either drip to drain tables or some type of irrigation line. A lot of companies are successfully employing rockwool cubes and growing in rockwool. Another popular medium is coco. The cultivators across Canada spread the gambit.
And is this like the crushed up shells or whatever? Like what is coco?
Coco coir is made from the husk of a coconut.
Thinking like cacao.
Yeah. No, coco is really good to grow in. It actually doesn't retain water quite like soil, but it allows a lot of drainage. So you don't have overwatering issues like
And the root rot. And
Exactly. But you do get good runoff. So if you're doing more frequent waterings, it's a little more desirable.
Okay, makes sense.
It all has to do with that grower's methodology, that lead grower, and how much, how long a leash the senior management and the company are giving that grower, and you know, where they have to bend and where they're going to stay firm. And you know, you see people running LEDs, you see people running, you know, double-ended Gavitas. It's really a personal preference grow methodology, and no one is a cut above the rest. It's really understanding how your specific cultivars that you're running are reacting to your specific methodologies in your specific facility. And so if you dial that in, it doesn't matter whether you're growing rock wool, soilless mix, living soil, or cocoa. If you've taken the time to dial in those tiny little details, those nuances, you're going to be able to produce some high-quality flower.
What kind of nutrients are people allowed to use here? Like, I had heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that it's really difficult to find truly organic cannabis here whenever you're dealing with an indoor grow. I don't know how all of that works. Like, me going into a store, how do I know what I'm getting?
So I think you really need to, you know, it's the responsibility, unfortunately, due to the current constraints that are placed under us under the Cannabis Act and Health Canada, it's the responsibility falls somewhat to the consumer, the purchaser.
Absolutely.
And going on and learning a little bit more about cannabis cultivation and learning, you know, maybe getting opinionated on it and starting to learn about the cultivation methodologies implemented by these growers. I am not an expert in this organic field, but one problem that I'm seeing is that there isn't a standout one federal body that is certifying organic materials, and where are they certifying that? Are they certifying how they were sourced and the inputs that went into that material, or are they certifying that material itself, and what does that constitute? And I think,
and you're talking across food and the dairy industry and the beef industry, yeah, and all of it.
And okay, so my understanding is there's three bodies right now, and I can't name them off the top of my head, that are working in this cannabis space, uh-huh, but there's a lot of confusion, and yeah, there is still,
because we're not even a year in, so
we're not even a year in,
so everybody's figuring it out.
We're all figuring out, we're all flying by the seat.
Well, it makes me feel better because, you know, in California, we've made a real shit show out of things. This is one of the important things about what I like to do, is that if we can share knowledge, yeah, and we can talk about the things that are working for us or the places where we see someone else is doing it better, and we can say like, hey, we need to get on board with some of these things, we can collectively make this better faster.
That's one of the benefits of legalization. You do have a lot of people that are coming out of their closets now that are sharing information. I mean, you're always going to have people that are chasing proprietary information, especially now as the industry formalizes and crystallizes to differentiate. Companies need to develop IP, be that, you know, formulations in their products or even their genetic IP that we're now starting to see come out. But the issue is, like, you know, to truly develop something of value that you want to lock in, you need a little help.
Yeah.
And cannabis has always been about the sharing and the helping. So it's cool to see that as we go forward, there's players in the space that aren't losing that, that still want to build a better future for everybody. And I mean, there are always bad apples, and there's always people that are just chasing a dollar. But you know what? The consumer knows better. And yeah, in the end, you know, buying preferences will dictate where they want to go. And
yeah,
it's a bit of a challenge right now in the retail space to talk about the effects.
Right, and that's where education becomes
paramount.
And it's the foundation from which all of this is going to grow in a really successful and wholesome way that's good for the business owner and good for the environment and good for the consumer. It's like, let's be really thoughtful about this and create a space that's good for everybody.
And most of us didn't go to school to get the knowledge we had. It was passed on by other people in the community who shared this knowledge. And I know that speaks true for myself. And you know, I'm very passionate about passing this knowledge along freely to anyone who wants to sit down and have a conversation,
yeah,
because that's how I learned it.
Yeah. And that actually segues into what you're doing with Cultivation Solutions?
Cultivated Solutions.
Why is it so hard for me today?
It's a bit of a tricky name.
I think Petal Pub and a couple of smoke breaks. I mean, I may be a touch more than casually baked at this moment.
Yeah, well,
but it's celebratory.
It's a bit of a misleading name. We actually aren't involved in any cultivation. We actually specialize in custom education programs. So we got our start with our retail training program that we take an academic focus on the plant. You know, we approach it with scientific rigor and methodologies to really bring forward information that's going to help weed through a lot of the misinformation that's out there these days. But, you know, given the regulatory landscape that we're in, you need a lot more than just that. So, you know, we really help people with conversation skills. We teach them how to talk to people, how to listen. Active listening is one of the things we spend a lot of time on.
Yeah.
Because if you can really listen to the customer in front of you, then if you're empathizing with them, then you'll be able to spot opportunities, and you know, it becomes easy to round a sale. You
yeah
know, I don't teach any of my clients to upsell, because you just don't need to in cannabis. Everything's so synergistic that if somebody comes in to buy cannabis, they're probably going to need lighters in his out or other papers. But you know, it's a really cool and fun space to be with the new innovation that's coming out. There's going to be more and more challenges in describing products to people.
And when you're talking about innovations, you're talking about the edibles and the concentrates and things coming on later in the year.
The edibles is a great example. You know, in Canada, the regulatory regime is so strict on product packaging, you really can't have much distinguishing features between one box and another.
Right.
But we're going to have two products on the shelves, both potentially gummies. One may take an hour, 2 hours to have an effect, lasts up to potentially six, depending on the person and their biology. The other could take 15 minutes and last up to an hour. So, you know, it's going to be tough to explain that to consumers when, you know, your hands are sort of tied in a store and you really can't tell them that this is going to make you feel this way.
Yeah.
So it is about having that conversation, holding their hand. And
telling them to listen to Casually Baked, the podcast.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. It's you got to learn from others' experiences, like Jameson was saying, right? That's what cannabis is all about.
Well, and, you know, I think it's important, too, what you're doing about, like, educating bud tenders on not only how the products work, but also who's in front of you. Like, know your audience.
Yeah.
You're talking to a 60-year-old woman who's just trying it for the first time versus the 30-year-old executive who's grinding all day on their new business. Like, you know, knowing those nuances. I worked with a company in the States. It's an online learning bud tender, but remove all of the vowels. Really difficult to talk about. And I created a consumer education component for them. Like how to talk to these different
people. It's absolutely necessary because, you know, every customer has their own set of sensibilities.
Yeah.
And the diverse demographics in cannabis are, you know, insane. Everybody uses it.
And everybody needs to be able to tell an older woman how a cannabis lube works pretty soon.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be legal everywhere, and you have to know how to have that conversation.
It's funny how many people need a bong and want a bong, but don't want a bong. You know? Calling it a water pipe makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what are some of the things that people are able to do now with, like, this limited scope of education that's available? What are some creative ways people are teaching?
We actually like to teach our clients how to journal and how to teach people how to journal because that and a lot of people that are coming to the stores right now are new users, or they're novices, and they don't know what they're doing. So they need somebody to hold their hands and show them how to do this.
Yeah.
So we like to teach them how to journal. You know, if you teach somebody how to identify what to look for, how to record their experiences, as well as give them a set of language to describe their experiences, they're going to become more engaged in the process, and they're going to come back. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is about developing customer loyalty.
Right, totally. Before we wrap and jump back on the pedal pub to our next destination, which, thank you for setting it up, tell everybody what we're doing next.
So we're going to be heading to a privately owned retail location here in Inglewood, owned by some friends of ours, and they're going to be shutting the store down for a few minutes so we can take some video and show you what purchasing in the Canadian legal landscape really looks like.
Yeah, so if you're scared to do it, we're going to show you how. It's going to be super fun and super easy. All right, well, let's go get Casually Baked. Thanks, guys.
After drinking a pint of Cake Face, my favorite cold garden brew as of now, our Casually Baked gang pedaled on over to Elmer Nelson for a little Canadian cannabis retail therapy. Paul agreed to be my and your cannabis Sherpa on that Canadian shopping experience, so stay tuned for that. You'll find hot pics and videos of the 100th podcast celebration with Pedal Pub Calgary, Cold Garden, and Elmer Nelson Cannabis Dispensary in the show notes at casuallybaked.com. And on this momentous 100th episode, I have to stop for a minute and rave about the practice of persistence. I've always been a go-getter, but about 10 years ago, I made a conscious commitment to make small sacrifices in order to live the life I wanted to live. I decided to stop playing checkers with my life and start playing chess. When I conceptualized Casually Baked to the podcast, I thought long and hard about the commitment I was about to make. I knew if I wanted to make real change in destigmatizing the modern cannabis culture, I had to find ways to make cannabis education entertaining. I had to be willing to create highly responsible content regularly, and I had to have the audacity to build a community of highly responsible cannabis Sherpas. 2 years and some change later, it brings me so much joy to look up and see the impact my Casually Baked perspective and storytelling is having in normalizing our cannabis culture. I'm excited to continue our journey together, and I look forward to creating more dynamic cannabis dialogue around the globe. I'm living my inspired life, and I hope you're inspired to do the same. Cheers to dreams and persistence. Cheers to being brave enough to live your best life. And last, but certainly not least, cheers to you. Thank you so much for listening and engaging with me. Keep messaging me your thoughts and can of curious questions through the website at casuallybaked.com or DM me if that's more your speed. You can always find me at casuallybaked on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. I hope you'll rate and review the podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And if you're inspired to add another can of curious member to our tribe, you know what to do. Puff, puff, pass it on. Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.